16:31-33. The Amplified version of the Bible said, Jesus answered them, Do you now at last believe? Take careful notice that an hour is coming and has arrived when you will all be scattered, each to his own home, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things that in so you may have perfect peace. In this world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy, for I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, and my victory is abiding. Eternal God, our Father, Lord, we come right now just to say thank you. God, we come for saying thank you for another opportunity yet to just be in the house. And God, right now as we have this time of reflection and fellowship, God, I ask that you would just shrink me down, that you may be raised up. Hide me behind the cross so that only you may be seen. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. God, hold my mind and keep me steady right now. Hold my heart, God, that your word may go forth unto your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, or this afternoon rather, we are talking about confidence in the midst of chaos. Coming out of the book of John, we read verses 31-33, and we're going to focus on just the last two. This is one of my favorite portions of the Bible. It is a sacred time. It is a dear time. See, we read the word, but we don't take time to learn where it was written and what the context was around a specific situation. So we just read it like a story. But this is one of my favorite passages. If you go back to chapter 13 through 17 in John, we find an intimate account of Jesus' last hours. This was an account of his last hours spent with his disciples prior to his arrest, prior to his trial, and prior to his crucifixion. If we read these passages, you can sense a heaviness being felt by all. The Lord is dealing with the coming crucifixion and the burden of sin. His disciples are in a state of shock. They're trying to make sense of what they have already heard, pondering an uncertain future. See, he already told them what was going to happen, but like folks, they just didn't believe it. In the midst of great heaviness, Jesus offers words of wisdom to reassure and comfort his disciples. Now, this moment happened thousands of years ago, right? Am I right about it? This is not a new account, but this is now current time. So everyone who wants to say the Bible is outdated, we're going to look at a passage that is 2,000 years old, and we're going to make it relevant for us right here and right now. Although our current situation may not be as heavy or as impending as a crucifixion, our circumstances still sometimes are chaotic. We are faced with situations that are oftentimes beyond our control. We contemplate how to take this path, that path. I'm standing at a crossroads. Which way do I go? How will I survive? And the fact of the matter is that our Lord never promised that we wouldn't face moments like these. I had someone say to me one time, boy, you seem to go through a lot of stuff for a Christian. I said, well, the Bible doesn't promise me all flowery beds of ease. Amen? See, if you're out in the street and you're in the world and you've got both feet in the club and you're doing whatever you want to do, the devil doesn't really need to deal with you. Amen? It's when you decide that I'm going to follow Jesus, that's when all hell breaks loose in your life. But his confidence, he offers confidence in the midst of chaos. Let's look at this moment. We're going to talk about this in verse 32. I believe that we can consider that this was a moment of preparation. It says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Knowing what would soon transpire, Jesus seizes an opportunity for a final moment of preparation. preparation with his disciples. He told them, even though it appears that I am alone, I am not alone because the Father is with me.
Amen.
The B part of that verse says a time of difficulty. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that we shall be scattered, every man unto his own. His arrest at the hands of the Roman guards is just moments away. See, he knows what's coming.
Yes, he knows.
He knows what's coming. He knew the disciples would flee in fear, and they would be scattered into the darkness of night, and fear would grip their hearts, and the world would soon be turned upside down.
Yes.
After years of faithful service,
yes,
following the Lord, they would see him arrested.
Yes.
They would see those that promised to follow him, wherever you go,
yes,
I'll go. Those that said, no matter whatever happens, I have your back, they would flee and scatter.
Yeah.
Do you know folks that have said to you, no matter where you go, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I'm your ride or die. If you need me, all you have to do is call. And when you call, you can't get anybody to pick up the phone. Come on, somebody. Their future at that moment would seem very uncertain. But they were about to face the greatest difficulty of their lives. Trials and difficulties, they come to us all. See, I'm not going to sit up here and scream at you this morning. You just going to have to listen to what I'm saying.
Yes.
And if it makes sense, say amen. If it hurts, say ouch. Don't get mad. Amen. Trials and difficulties come to us all. They come in varied forms and in different intensity levels.
Yes.
Some of them are familiar and some of them are unfamiliar. Some of them are unavoidable and some of them are preventable. Some of them you can see them when they knock on your door. And some of them we open the door and in by in. Come on now. Then run to the altar talking about, Lord, I have no idea how this happened. If we aren't careful, our fellowship with the Lord will suffer. Extreme adversity has the ability to scatter folks, even faithful believers. Churches will split over doctrinal differences. Come on now. They'll split over not liking somebody. I saw a church split over the music, over the style of worship. Folks will scatter in the midst of difficulty and adversity. Soon after Jesus spoke these words, the disciples experienced great difficulty. You cannot predict the future, but such difficulty can be a reality for us as well. We live in a world where we do not embrace the gospel. Come on now. We live in a world with an attitude of what I do is my business. As long as I'm happy, don't worry about what I'm doing. We live in a world where we are trying to make folks comfortable. We live in a world where you can't tell the church house from the clubhouse. Come on now, we don't embrace the gospel. We live in a world, we have an attitude, don't we? What I do is my business. You ain't got no business telling me about nothing. But the Bible says if something isn't right, you ought to address that. But the problem is, tell the truth now. The problem is we don't clean up our own stuff. So it's very difficult for us to go to somebody else and say this isn't right. Come on now. Persecution is on the rise around the world.
Yes, it is.
It's found its way here. And we need to be prepared for the difficulties that we face. Our only hope is to abide in Jesus Christ and his word. Verse 32, the A section is a time of doubt. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, it's now come that we will be scattered, every man in his own, and shall leave me alone. As Jesus continued to prepare the disciples for what lay ahead, he knew what they would experience, and that would be a season of doubt. The disciples would scatter into the night, leaving Jesus alone to face a fake trial. Right? That's all that was. That was a fake trial. That was a mock trial. That was some high school stuff. That was a mock trial. It was already set up and prescripted before they even started that mess. A mock trial and abused, and he would do it alone. And this would cause them again to question their faith. The enemy will plant seeds of doubt in your mind. Amen? If you don't know in whom you believe, when trouble comes, you will start to second guess yourself. When you immediately stop focusing on Jesus Christ, you open the door for the devil to plant a seed of doubt in your mind. Amen? Come on, somebody. But if you keep on looking and focusing on him, you will be all right. Satan continues to use those same tactics today, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He seeks to isolate us first.
Yes, he does.
See, we come up against a situation, and what do? We withdraw.
Yes.
Instead of going to folks and saying, listen, I need some prayer, but we're afraid to come to the altar, and we're afraid to cry because somebody might look at us and say, oh, what are they going through? The first thing that he does is when a situation comes, he calls you to isolate yourself.
Yes.
You'll stop responding to phone calls. You'll stop responding to text messages. And you will sit somewhere alone.
Yeah.
And when you're alone and feel alone, then you start to have a doubtful attitude.
That's right. Come on.
You flee away from fear, away from the Lord, and it becomes a dangerous and vulnerable place. And some never recover. We wander alone, listening to voices of dissension, and fail to live our lives for the Lord.
Yes.
We live them for everybody else.
Yes, come on.
But we fail to live them fully for the Lord.
Yes.
Such doubt will intensify as the trials of life and persecution increase within the world. When this time comes, I'm telling you, when this time comes, I'm confident that those that lack a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will flounder.
Yeah.
Your struggles will continue to get worse and you will be devoured. See, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's always going to be all right. Someday we're going to have a bad day.
Come on.
Question your faith and begin to wonder if it's worth it to continue. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered sometimes, is it worth all this?
Yeah.
Come on, let's be real. Some days, you know, you just think about it. And you say, gee, I wonder, is it worth all this running around?
Come on.
Is it worth spending all of this money?
Come on.
Is it worth running all around and no one come out to support?
Come on.
Is it worth it?
Come on.
Sometimes we get into those specific situations.
Yeah.
But if we're able to endure, if we're to endure, we must first be prepared.
Prepared.
Again, our only hope is to abide in Christ and his word. This is, I'm talking about confidence in the midst of chaos.
Yeah,
somebody came to me early this morning that put me in a spot.
Come on, talk to him.
And I said, man, I've got to go up here and talk to the folks and preach to the folks about confidence in the midst of chaos. And my phone was going off, and this lady died over here, and this man died over here, and my phone is just ding and ding, and nothing was in the place. And I was like, man, I feel like going home and just sitting down. And I'm standing right back in here. I said, no, wait a minute. You know what? I said, the Lord didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of a sound mind. And I stood right back there and I said to him and I said to my bishop, I said, I have confidence in the midst of chaos. Open that door. And we came on out here. And now here we are. So I'm talking to myself this morning, too. See, you, if you're under somebody and they don't ever have to talk to themselves, you better get up from under them and run to somebody else. If you get underneath somebody and they don't want to tell you that I've been where you are, you need to get up from under them and get underneath somebody else. Because I don't know about you, but when I was born, I cried. I came out of my mama and I cried. And then as I grew up, I did exactly what I wanted to do. Who I wanted to do it with. I said what I wanted to say. I went where I wanted to go. I did it my own way. I made mistake after mistake after mistake. So I'm here to tell you that when I tell you hold on, I've had to hold on myself. I'm here to tell you that the hole that you may be in or you have been in, I have been in there also.
Talk to me.
Hallelujah.
Verse 32, the B part, a time of determination. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Jesus revealed his determination to fulfill the plan of God for the redemption of mankind.
Yeah.
They had something we didn't have. They had Jesus with them.
Yeah.
To talk right to them.
Yeah.
If they had a question, all they had to do was ask him and gave them an answer.
Yeah.
And they still doubted.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
Come on now.
He will soon face unimaginable pain and suffering. He's been abandoned by his disciples. And now listen, you know, he knew what was going to happen.
Yes,
because he told them, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me.
Yes,
he knew before they knew.
Yeah.
But I still believe, being fully man and fully God, he had to stop a minute and look around.
Yeah.
And say, all the people that said they were going to follow me,
yeah,
now where are they?
Where are they?
He had to have a human moment for just a moment.
Yeah.
Where he felt alone.
Yes.
Abandoned by his disciples. Now he's about to bear the sin of the world in agony on a cross.
Yeah.
Made from a tree that his daddy created.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'll even be a season during that time where the Father cuts off communication with the Son.
Come on, come on.
It's the only time it ever happened. It'll never happen again.
Amen.
He had all of our dirt and mess, everything that we've done, every corner we tipped around, everything we took that didn't belong to us, every drug that we have taken, anything that we have put into our bodies, anybody we slept with didn't belong to us. He had all that dirt and filth on it so much that his daddy couldn't even look at. And he bears this for us. However, Jesus knew that the Father would never truly abandon him. And that's the kind of faith that we have to have today. You have to understand that the Father will never truly abandon you. And if you understand that, you will have faith and confidence in the midst of your storm. You'll be able to walk through whatever it is that's coming in your direction in confidence. Amen? You know, when you're walking on the water, the storm is raging, but where your feet are is peaceful. As long as you're focused on Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand this great truth. Although we can't predict what we will face or who will abandon us in our journey. And trust, folks, we'll do it.
Yeah.
When I started this church, I know some of you were there when I started this church in my dining room. Let's tell the truth today.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a seat.
Come on.
I got a big dining room for those of you who have not been in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get a seat.
Not right.
Down the hallway, around the corner, upstairs in my house.
Come on.
Right. Where are they? Trust, folks will abandon you. And it'll be the ones that look you square in the face that say, I'll be with you until the end. I'll be with you for the long haul.
Yeah.
But assured that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. And really, that's all we need. I said, he gave me this vision. And you are all I need. If I've got to preach to myself, I will preach to myself. Amen. Because he won't throw you into deep water and let you sink.
Come on now, man.
When you feel alone, the Lord is right there. The Bible tells us, when your mother and father forsake you, what? The Lord will lift you up. When your friends turn their back and your family acts like strangers, the Lord is right there. Regardless of the difficulties we face, regardless of the sickness that will come in our body, the heartache that will come into our life, regardless of the situation, know that there is a constant companion in God, and his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We're never really alone. He's with us in every situation that we face, and we can have confidence in the midst of chaos.
Yeah.
Verse 33, a message for transformation. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, it doesn't say you might, it said you will have tribulation. But what? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So what that means is, when we think that we have to take something to God and then ask him to fix it, then tell him how to fix it, we have already cut ourselves off from our blessing. It says, don't worry, be of good cheer, because I've already been through it. I've already overcome it. And in me, you have what? Victory. During the next 40 days, their faith was strengthened. The church was born. They began to share the gospel, and then intense persecution came. But Jesus knew they would reflect on what he had said, and in their faith in him, they would bring about a total transformation in life. Jesus offered a word of comfort in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. This world is soon to be filled with turmoil. The one they believed to be Christ and restore. Israel is now hanging on a cross. But who do you believe in? Life would be more difficult than they ever imagined. They would experience, though, a great peace and a great confidence in the Lord. Lord never promised life would be easy. Contrary to popular opinion, he never promised that he wouldn't put more on us than he could bear. Remember that sermon? The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, Jesus offers, it tells us that persecution is going to come, but don't worry about it because I've already overcome it.
Come on.
We serve one who offers peace in the midst of a raging storm.
Yes,
you know, that's true. When we said it in Sunday school this morning, have you ever met anybody, have you ever known anybody that all hell is always breaking loose around them and they just keep walking like this? They don't even look at it. I said this morning, I'm in the midst of a storm and I'm focused on Jesus Christ. I can't see all the other stuff that's going on around me. But the moment I take my focus off of him, I see this one over here who's talking about me. I see this one over here who's trying to stab me in my back. I see this family member who won't speak to me. And as soon as my focus shifts, I begin to sink into the water. What are you focused on this morning? You see these things all tie together, don't they?
Come on.
He won't remove the trial, but he will give us the peace and the perseverance to endure it. John 14:27, peace I leave to you and my peace I give unto you, but not as the world gives you. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It didn't come from the world and the world can't take it. The only way the world can take it is if you put it in their hand and allow them to have it. Amen, somebody. If the Lord gives it to you, what is for you is for you. Yeah. If you give it to somebody else, that's on you.
Come on.
Amen.
A word of confirmation in 33b. In the world, you will have tribulation. He doesn't want to mislead them. He's honest with them. He says, you know, you're going to face some stuff. Coming and following me is not going to exempt you from these things.
Yeah.
So listen, come with me.
Yeah.
You're going to have some hard days.
Yeah.
You're going to have some trials and tribulations, but it's all right because I got you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
He told them you'll have tribulation, then he revealed the intensity that they would endure. And it speaks of a crushing pressure, trouble, anguish, and a heavy burden. Jesus wanted them to be aware that he was coming. He wanted them to be aware and prepare for tribulation and realize that they could endure and overcome to the end if they stayed in him.
Yes.
And you know, I believe that in our culture, we've been taught and believe that suffering and adversity is reserved for those who've been disobedient or rebellious. That is a flat out lie. It is coming for every single one of us.
Yeah.
If you haven't had it, keep on living because it's on the way.
Come on.
We tend to think that those who face trials have a deep, hidden sin.
Yeah.
I had a preacher say to me, he's supposed to be my family, say to me, you didn't tell me that you were going to open your church. That means you must have something deep-seated within you that you didn't want to be allowed, that you couldn't be transparent like God allows in this situation. That is a flat-out lie. The Bible says you don't share your vision with everybody. He told me to open a church. He didn't tell me to call you and ask for your vision. The word transparency is not in the Bible. Come on now. When you think you're the smartest one in the room, that's when you get tripped up. We tend to think of those who face trials that they have something deep within them. These were men that Jesus had chosen to follow him.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Yeah.
He devoted 3 years of his life to teaching them. They weren't perfect, but they were his.
That's right.
We're not perfect, but we're his.
Yeah.
I know who I belong to.
Come on, man.
I know if I get lost, I know right how to get back home.
Come on.
If anyone believes the Lord, these men did. And they were told to expect tribulation.
Yeah.
And they were told to prepare for it.
Yeah.
Tribulation is not a sign that we've been forsaken or that we're out of God's will. In fact, it may reveal the exact opposite. Don't take my word for it. It's in the Bible. I want you to look at your neighbor, say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Say it again, neighbor.
Neighbor.
It's in the Bible.
Neighbor.
well. John 15:19. If we were of the world would love his own. But because we are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. If that's not enough, go over to Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Is that enough? Go to 1 Thessalonians 3:4. For verily, when we are here with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Yeah. And even as it came to pass, and you know that the scripture, the restoration temple right here, was founded on, is 1 Peter 5:10. Are you with me? It says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ with himself, will himself restore you. Come on, his will confirm you, strengthen you, and then he will establish you. I'm almost done. Y'all can help me out. 1 Peter, after you have suffered a little while, the Bible says that you will suffer a little while. It doesn't say your whole life. It says a little while. But listen, after, somebody say after. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, he ain't sending anybody else, he's coming himself. It's so important. He's coming himself. And when he comes, he'll establish you. He'll confirm you. He'll strengthen you. And then he will establish confidence in the midst of chaos. Trouble and adversity will remain. Doubt and fear is going to creep in from time to time. But in a moment of weakness, when we question our faith, we know death is certain. And none of us know when it's coming. And we all have uncertainties in lives, and we all have things to bear, but victory was ascertained at Calvary. Calvary covers it all. The debt was paid. At Calvary, the debt was paid. Saved by grace, and right now we're victorious in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31-39. We're more than conquerors in Christ. And nothing is going to separate us from his love. This was a time of great uncertainty. The next few days would be difficult. Adversity in the years to come, but regardless of the trials that they endured, they were victorious in Christ, weren't they? The church has never grown as rapidly as it did then. We think we're doing something. We're building mega churches, and we singing, and we stomping around, and we're painting black walls and making stages. And you know what? The church has never grown as fast as it did when the disciples were preaching the gospel, because they preached the truth. They were trying to make folks comfortable.
Yes. Come on.
We have the same assurance in Jesus Christ today. Yes. He is enough for us to face whatever it is that we're going to face. Yes. If you're struggling, I guarantee you, just look to Jesus. Yes. If you're struggling with something, look to Jesus. Yes. If you're discouraged, you need to look to Jesus. Yes. If you're lonely and confused, just look to Jesus. Yes. If you're unsaved, don't look to him, run to him. They tell him he's a battle axe in a time of a storm. He's a comforter. I'm talking about Jesus, Mary's baby. Do you know him today? He's a healer. I know him to be a healer. He done took me out of a sick bed. They came to bury me, but instead they had to come just to look, because I walked out of the hospital. And 6 months later, I got up and walked out. The God that I serve is a healer. He's a redeemer. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He's the first. He's the last. And he's all that I need. Do you know him? The songwriter, he wrote a great hymn of the church. He said, we're all tossed and driven on a restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests all succeed a bright sunshine. But in that land of perfect day.
Yeah.
When the mists have rolled away, we're going to understand it better by and by. And as the people sing it, it says, by and by, when the Lord shall come, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we're going to sit and tell the story about how we've overcome. We're going to understand it better. But he doesn't ever tell you in here what it can do. I'm here to tell you, whatever you need, it's in this book. But you've got to open it up. You've got to learn who Jesus Christ is for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Crack this book open and learn who he is. Don't just date him, marry him. Jesus is all that you need. Whatever it is. Whatever your chaos is. Stand confident. Because the word says that all great online. Let us know what you need. We'll be right there for you.